Our reading this evening is Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord. As you know, I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. May all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, may they be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always to say, the Lord is great. But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my helper and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word.
The story of the Bible is full of those who are redeemed and restored by the grace and the power of God. We go back to the Old Testament and we see the stories there. Noah, you'll remember, told to build an ark. People made little of him. But God justified him. And when the waters came, of course, he and his family were redeemed. Remember that Joseph found himself with the enmity of his brothers and found himself in a pit. And he was restored by God's grace. We learn again and again in the words of Scripture of those who trusted and believed. David himself, who wrote this psalm we're looking at tonight, was someone who knew what it was to be redeemed and to be restored. And we find again and again that the Word of God reminds us that God takes us from situations of desperation and need to the confidence and hope of his presence. Job, you'll remember, was someone who suffered greatly with all the plagues and all the things that came upon him, so much so that his wife said, look, Job, just go in the corner and die. But Job knew the deliverance of God. I know, he said, that my Redeemer liveth. And that's the confidence that the people of God had over the generations of the Word, God revealing through his Word his power to redeem and to save and to make all things new. In the contemporary society in which we live, we know that many people live in despair and hopelessness. We look at a world that is torn apart by wars and rumours of wars. We find a society that seems to be drunk with materialism, and yet there is a great human need, with mental health problems more pronounced than ever before. We see a society that is crying out for redemption and renewal, and people don't know where to find that redemption and that renewal. I was reading on the news tonight about the American ship in the area of where the wars are going on now. The aircraft carrier, what's it called? I can't remember his name. Anyway, but the men been on that ship for some 250 days, I should say, and many of them are just jumping off. They cannot live there anymore in the conditions that they are finding themselves in. They seem to be great despondency and despair. The word of God always comes back to the means of redemption and renewal. As it was for the people of God, so it is for us. So it was for the psalmist here. I waited patiently from the Lord. Why did he wait patiently for God? Because he needed God. He needed God's presence. He needed God's deliverance. And he knew that only God could deliver him, because he was a man who had experienced God's forgiveness before. David was someone who lived far from a perfect life. And yet he knew God's gracious care and kindness and redemption, the reality of his deliverance and his peace. He speaks here of the pit, the very situation of desperation and despair, the very despondency in which he found himself. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. That's a wonderful testimony to the power of the saving grace of God. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. That was his experience. It was a slimy pit. It wasn't a good place to be. The mud and the mire were surrounding him. Now, he might be speaking metaphorically here, and surely he is. But that was the state of his life. He knew his need. He turned to God in his hour of need, and he found that God was faithful. He set my feet upon a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Notice, the mud and the mire has now become the firm rock on which to stand. And that's what God does for us. He has sent his Son into the world to deliver us from the despondency of our sin and despair, and placed our feet solidly upon a rock. Remember the story of the man who built his house upon the sand, and the wind came and the waves came in and the sand castle disappeared. But the man who built his house upon a rock, the storm came around him, and yet he found deliverance. He gave me a firm place to stand. And that's what God does in our lives, dear friends. Whatever our situation, he gives us a rock in which to stand. He takes us from where we are, from our doubt and uncertainty, and gives us the assurance of his presence. I trace the rainbow through the rain, Matheson said, and know the promise is not vain. The dawn shall tearless be. What is the pit? It is the pit of discouragement, perhaps, in your life. When you are discouraged, when you feel that things aren't going as you want them to go, and perhaps you feel neglected, and perhaps you feel in a situation of despair. The consequences of the slimy mud, the circumstances of a world that will never keep its promises to you, both politically and internationally. We look around a world that is in a state of great despair. It is a great state of a world that has lost its way. It is a slimy, muddy pit in which the nations of the world find themselves, because they are at enmity and war with each other, and that seems to be increasing day by day, with more lies being told than ever before. We find ourselves in that situation, and we can become despondent in despair. And the pit then of circumstances, illness, grief, financial strain, broken relationships, the pit is a place we do not want to be. But it is to that world that Jesus came. It is to that situation that he came to redeem the lost. It is through his love that we are able to come today, that affirm the words of the psalmist. He has lifted me out of the slimy pit. From sinking sand, he lifted me. And by his life and death and resurrection from the cross, has placed our feet solidly on the confidence that we have as Christians. That we are those people who know and trust in a God who in eternity has secured our redemption. And by faith in him we are lifted, and we are placed on the solid rock of his salvation. The storm may roar around me, my heart may low be laid, but God is round about me, how can I be dismayed? And we can be dismayed. In a society where more than ever before we find people who are in the midst of despair and despondency, where mental health problems are more pronounced than ever before, where our children and young people are going online and seeing terrible things that are having influence upon their life, we find again and again the need of something more. And then you've got those people in the world who say, oh, philosophy is our answer. You know, we follow the ways that will take people from this situation. And, in a sense, what they offer is meaningless, because it has nothing to do with the human condition. It's all the human condition of our rebelliousness and sin against God. There's only one who can take us from that situation, and that is Jesus himself. Isn't it wonderful to read the scriptures and to read him, the one who said to Zacchaeus, come off that tree, even though you're in desperation and even though you are quizzling in this traitor, I got room for you. What about the woman taken in adultery, the one who was going to be stoned to death because of her sin? He took her from the despondency and despair of that situation, and she knew grace and forgiveness and peace. Yeah, Simon Peter, what a character he was. Far from being perfect. The way in which he was so impulsive and wanted to do things and wanted to fit the state of the Messiah into his own framework of understanding. Jesus said in his confession of faith, on this rock you are a changed man, Peter. I've taken you from where you were and placed you on the rock of salvation now. And on you and your confession of faith I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Dear friends, we have a Saviour who has taken us from the sinking sand of our own making, and a nation and a world that is fast losing its way, and anxiously wants us to put our feet solidly on the road to salvation, to come to the cross and to receive there that wonderful grace and forgiveness that gives us then the confidence to face each new day. The confidence to know that we can, in this world, although we are in the world, we are not of the world, and our feet are solidly on the pathway that leads one day into the very presence of God. He takes us from the pit. And it's a blessed way. That's what he says secondly. It's a blessed way. And the psalmist realizes now, he's been taken from the pit. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done. These things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. All of a sudden, this man realized the blessing that has come to him through faith, through trusting, and to knowing that God had delivered him. John Newton, who wrote the hymn Amazing Grace, also wrote another hymn I mentioned this morning, where he speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, my Saviour, Master, Friend, my Prophet, Priest and King, my way, my life, my Lord, my end, accept the praise I bring. Do you know why that man praised God? Because he, the great blasphemer, he who wept because of his sin and rebelliousness, had found amazing grace, forgiveness, deliverance. When we've been here 10,000 years, he declared, bright shining as the sun, there's no less time to sing God's praise than when we birth began. We've sung three wonderful hymns of praise tonight. To the God who has redeemed us, fill thou, O Lord my God, my heart with continual praise, because we have been delivered, we have been ransomed, healed, restored and forgiven. God has planned this for us, every one of us. But it's up to us how we respond. I often think of Simeon and Anna in the temple courts, remember, in the nativity narratives. What patience they had. Anna had become a widow at a young age, and she spent her time praising God in the temple. And Simeon himself had been promised by the Lord that his eyes would not close in death until he had seen the promised Messiah. And Mary and Joseph brought a baby. And Simeon looked upon him. Now, Lord, lettest thy servant depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that which you have ordained before the foundation of the world. You see, fulfilling here what has been fulfilled already by the God who ordained it. The things you planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too many to declare. Do you know, that's wonderful, isn't it? That when we come to faith, when God has taken us from our sin and rebelliousness, when we have trusted in the redeeming work of Christ, we can look back with gratitude that he has taken us from where we are, and our eyes too have beheld his salvation. That he leads us in the ways of truth and righteousness, and that's what the psalm declares. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, as you know, O Lord. Friends, wonderful to know tonight that we are God's children by faith and obedience to his word. And we are indeed blessed, and we can count our many blessings and we can name them one by one, because that's His love and His care for us. The reality of coming to know the blessedness of salvation and the assurance of faith in Christ. From the pit, from the despair, He has placed our feet upon a rock, and we are now courtiers in the very throne room of heaven, as servants of the King, the one who first loved us and gave Himself for us. And so that declaration meant something, not only for the fact that His feet now are on the solid rock of salvation. He proclaimed the righteousness of God. He proclaimed it with an enthusiasm and a joy that He wanted to share with others. May those who say, be appalled at their own shame. You and I know that. The world thinks little of us. It does. We see a society that is full of indifference to the things of God, and faith is something that perhaps people haven't even considered contemplating in their own experience. Because the devil, you see, he blinds people. He shows them the sort of joys of the world, and they're not joys. They're paths of destruction. What he does is he's the great deceiver. But for the person, for this one who has put their faith in Christ, then we can look at the world, and we are far from being perfect people, and we will fail. But when we have that absolute assurance that the foundation in which we are building our faith is a solid rock of what God has accomplished in Christ, then we can be those people who rejoice in His presence, and we can look at those who say, and say, it doesn't make any difference whatsoever. I know in whom I believe. And that is the saving work of Christ. All who seek You rejoice and are glad in You. Rejoice and are glad in You. Isn't it wonderful that we can rejoice tonight? We can really rejoice because we are the children of God. Isn't it wonderful that we can know we are part of the body of Christ? That we are into His, we are part of His church, His community of faith. And being church isn't just being sort of part of a religious community. It's the church is the vanguard of the kingdom of God. We need each other. We need to encourage one another. We need to study the word. We need to be people of prayer. We need to be those who listen to the word of God, that we might grow in faith and knowledge of Him. Because that's what God would want us to be in the age in which we live. I used to complain about having to go to chapel 3 times on a Sunday. Didn't you? I'd have done anything to get out of it. Yeah. Sunday school. Oh dear. Not another Sunday school. Back children's service in the night. Oh, I'd already said a verse in the morning. Yeah. I often think of those times. I was a rebellious child, you see. I have changed. But the reality is, I think back to those days now, and I'm so glad for them. I really, aren't you glad you were brought? If you were brought your baby in arms, praise the Lord for it. That you have been in the presence of God and God's people, and you have learned the choruses in Sunday school, and you have learned the word of God being proclaimed, and you have been in the atmosphere of prayer, and that has kept you, that has sustained you, that has brought you to faith. And some people have a marvellous Damascus Road experience, like Saul of Tarsus, like many people you and I know, who have gone from a life of despondency and despair and have had a sudden realisation of the grace and the need of God. And that's wonderful, yeah. But Simeon and Anna were faithful, patiently waiting for them to see the fullness of salvation, and we have been blessed. Because I know the majority of us here tonight have had the same experience as me. Thank God that God calls people from the world into His church. Amazing stories of conversion. But we thank God as well that the word of God found a place in our hearts and has taken us from the pit. We're not of the world anymore. We're on the way to salvation. We are those who have trusted and believed. And you know, whatever happens in the future now, none of us knows what tomorrow holds. We are eternally safe in His love, and because of that, even though sometimes it's an ongoing battle, yet I am poor and needy. Here the psalmist declares at the end, "You are my help and my deliverer. Oh my God, do not delay." Friends, we thank God tonight for the glorious gospel of grace that has met with us. We are grateful tonight that we are those who have been placed on the solid rock of his salvation. On this rock I will build my church. We are part of a community of God's people that rejoices and sing praises to God for his eternal goodness and love. For he has taken us from where we were and brought us into this situation of grace. And for that we give thanks to the unchanging, gracious God of eternity, who in Christ has delivered us and brought us into a situation of grace, and has made us into the children of God. And you know, dear friends, that's the greatest blessing you and I can ever have. It really is the greatest blessing you and I can ever have, because we are safe and secure in the rock that is his salvation. We are safe and secure in the loving grace of God. We are safe and secure in that which Christ has done for us. It was ordained in eternity, because it was ordained for people like you and I, who have been taken from the pit and the slime, and we have been placed as the children of God in the embrace of a loving Father, whose eternal purposes for us are secure in the promise of Jesus. I will be with you even to the end of the age. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, and I go to prepare a place for you. The promises we stand upon, the assurance that we have is secure in Christ, who lived and died and rose again for us. So dear friends, let's take the word of the Lord seriously tonight. Wait patiently for him. Perhaps you're feeling a little bit down tonight. He will come to you because you are his child. Remember that he has placed your solid feet solidly on the promises he has made. We are standing on the promises, not of the empty philosophies of the world, but in the sure words of Christ. We are blessed because we have placed our trust in him. And we are part of the body of Christ, and we celebrate of being part of this body. And we are righteous, made righteous not in any work of our own, but because it is all of him and him alone. The storm may roar around me, my heart may low be laid, but God is round about me. How can I be dismayed? Rejoice in the Lord tonight. Rejoice continually in his presence and his peace. And whatever happens in the world out there, you are safe and secure in him and in him alone. Amen.